Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Wide, wide world of sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up, that would be your Monday on B&E, and it's the Monday after another Dallas Cowboys season comes to an end. Unfortunately, in the divisional round for the seventh straight time, they lose in the divisional round. Haven't seen an NFC Championship game since 1994 into 95, or 95 into the 96 Super Bowl. But so we're talking about it. Cowboys, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We talked about the ugly with Dak Prescott and the two interceptions and nearly a third late in the game. Got outplayed by Brock Purdy. There was some good. I thought CeeDee Lamb was excellent. Thought I don't know. Micah Parsons.
He was just okay.
But the play when he threw Mike McGlinchey,
the
right tackle of the 49ers to the ground with one arm. I mean, we know Mike McGlinchey is 6'8 and 300 pounds. And Micah Parsons threw him to the ground like he was a kid. That was ridiculous. With one arm, he's being blocked by the tight end and then gets to McGlinchey and just sets him up over ass over apple cart with one arm. Like, wow, that's a strong human
being.
Yeah,
they didn't do any. I thought that Shanahan just said, you know what, go play quarterback. I didn't think they did anything where he had to get rid of the ball quick. He dropped in the pocket. They had pressure on him. Dallas had pressure on Purdy. He just didn't make any mistakes. He wasn't going to just throw it into coverage. So they didn't have any quick throws, or if it's not there, throw it out of bounds. He didn't do a lot of throwing the ball out of bounds. They just protected that kid, and Dallas did get the pressure that they should get. Lawrence, I thought, played a really good game up front. You know, Vander Esch was good against the run early. They just gave in the third quarter. I don't know. I guess there comes a time where you may not give up, but you gave in. And I thought the Dallas Cowboys defense gave in. Those runs, those gashing runs for 6 yards and 4 yards, when you really needed to stuff that team, they couldn't stuff them.
No. Well, and I don't know that anybody can. I think they'll move the ball on the Eagles. I mean, they're really good. And you're right about what you said about they protect Purdy, but Purdy just made all the throws.
He wasn't going to make any mistakes. He wasn't going to make a bad decision.
Think about this. In their 12-game win streak, the Niners have zero or one turnover in every game. They have not had multiple turnovers in any of their games in this 12-game win streak. It's how they win football games. They know the strength is their defense, and that's why the frustration with Dak Prescott. And why it's fair for Cowboys fan to say, you know what, when Cooper Rush was our quarterback, he wasn't turning the ball over, and we were finding ways to win those games. And it wasn't always pretty, but we were letting our defense win the game. We were letting our ground game win the game. I mean, obviously, to me,
you don't have to be pretty, because Purdy's offense isn't pretty. They just know who to get the ball to and don't make any mistakes.
And then just, as you said, wear you down into the fourth quarter, two long drives. And, you know, but again, 7 of 14 on third down for the Niners. That's 50%. That's extending drives. That's making big throws in big spots. I mean, I thought Purdy played really good. And I'll give you a cool little stat here before we get to our headlines and talk some Longhorns coming up and the other big stories of the weekend. But, you know, it was, like 4 years ago that there was the stat that a Big 12 quarterback had never won a playoff game. This weekend, three Big 12 quarterbacks will be playing on championship weekend with Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts, of course, was Alabama, but finished his career at Oklahoma, and now Brock Purdy out of Iowa State. Three of the four. Joe Burrow, the only quarterback remaining who is not out of the Big 12 conference. And that's pretty amazing. Up to 4 years ago, there hadn't been a Big 12 quarterback win a playoff game.
Yeah, and right now, Joe Burrow is the most dangerous of all.
He's scary, man.
No, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He's better on one leg than Dak is on two, on three. But,
three legs.
But I'm just telling you, he can't. Cincinnati's defense, I mean, that's what the group that you underestimate, how good that Cincinnati defense is.
Yeah, Romo kept saying
Apple.
That.
How about this dude playing, making plays during the course of the game?
Yeah, he was seen as a bust of a first-round draft pick for a while. Yeah, Cincinnati, Romo kept saying it on the broadcast, but their defensive coordinator should be getting some love for a
Absolutely.
Head coaching opportunity. I'm like, yeah, why isn't he? Lou Anarumo. is the defensive coordinator. Well, remember, he was, I mean, Lou was the one last year after Buffalo and Kansas City played that incredible divisional round shootout that was, you know, like a bold Big 12 game, 41 mm-hmm. to whatever, nobody could stop anybody. Well, Onorumo went into Kansas City and they ended up beating Patrick Mahomes. They came up with the defensive game plan to get it done, and they're right. They're really sound. They don't lose leverage very often. They're always in the right spot.
They
tackle very well. And, you know, they held Josh Allen and that Bills team to 10 points. 10 points yesterday. Really, really impressive performance. And so Joe Burrow will get a lot of the headlines, but you're right, their defense outstanding too. And right now, I mean, I don't know how you handicap who's going to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, how many in a row does Cincinnati now have? Aren't they on a streak too?
Yeah, they're 10. They're 10 in a row. And, of course, they will, you know, who knows what was going to happen on that Monday Night Football game, but it could be 11. And that game never got to be played, obviously, with the DeMar Hamlin story. It was great to see DeMar there yesterday in the snow and pumping up the crowd, but not nearly enough. The emotions.
No, the emotions can only carry you so far.
That.
Yeah.
That's just a really good Cincinnati team. And, yeah, you wonder if the ankle for Mahomes becomes a pivotal factor in this game this weekend. We know Joe Burrow's already 3-0 head-to-head against Patrick Mahomes in their young careers, or at least his young career against Mahomes.
Yeah, and he limped a little bit, too. Somebody landed on his leg.
Yeah, late in that game is kind of an awkward one. He looks like he's going to be okay. Let's get to the headlines, trending topics. You're just getting up and out in the 7 o'clock hour on a Monday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, 49ers have advanced past the Cowboys and into the NFC Championship game. They did it with a grinded-out 19-12 win yesterday in Santa Clara to wrap up divisional playoff weekend. Tremendous defensive battle on both sides. And despite two Dak Prescott interceptions led to 6 points for the 49ers and another missed extra point for the Cowboys, the game was tied at 9 entering the fourth quarter, so really anybody's ball game. That's when the 49ers went on back-to-back long scoring drives to take control of the game. The first went 91 yards in 10 plays. Christian McCaffrey finished it off with a 2-yard touchdown run. Then a 13-play, 64-yard drive that was equally big. They took 8 minutes off the fourth quarter clock, put the Niners up 19-12. Cowboys did get the ball back with 3 minutes to play, down 7, but went 3 and out pretty quickly and had to punt on 3 straight Dak Prescott incompletions. Then the Cowboys got the ball back with 40 seconds left, but could not get beyond midfield before the clock expired. San Francisco advances to face the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game this Sunday. Eagles, of course, obliterated the Giants on Saturday night. Cowboys, the season ends with a January loss to the Niners for the second straight season, and it's the franchise's 7th straight playoff loss in the divisional round. That's a streak they'd like to break, but can't seem to do it. AFC Championship game will be a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Cincinnati Bengals will be at Arrowhead Stadium to face the Chiefs. Bengals are back in the on the doorstep of the Super Bowl again after they rolled into Buffalo yesterday on a snowy day and knocked off the Bills 27-10. Very impressive. Joe Burrow and the Bengals jumped out to a quick 14-0 lead. Never looked back, as we talked about their defense. Put the clamps on Josh Allen and that Bills offense all afternoon. They pull off the impressive upset. Chiefs held off the Jaguars on Saturday night 27-20. Chiefs are going to have to deal with a high ankle sprain for their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. He says he'll play, but certainly won't be 100% on Sunday. By the way, the Eagles-Niners game is the early game, middle of the afternoon. The Chiefs-Bengals game will be the primetime game, about 5:30. Texas football, Longhorns added another big addition through the transfer portal on Saturday with the official commitment from Georgia, former Georgia wide receiver A.D. Mitchell, to the team. 6'4", 195-pound wideout, started for the Bulldogs the last two seasons on their run to back-to-back national championships. He has already enrolled at Texas for the spring and will be a junior next year for the Longhorns. Winning weekend for Texas basketball as well. Texas men won at West Virginia on Saturday, 69-61. Marcus Carr scored 19 of his 23 in the second half to lead the 7th-ranked Horns to that big win. They're now 16-3 and 5-2 in Big 12 play. The Texas women also improved to 5-2 in the Big 12. They did it up in Waco, beat the Baylor Bears 68-55. Vic Schaefer's Longhorns had held the Lady Bears to scoreless in the final 4 minutes of that game to pull away and win it.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so busy weekend, divisional weekend, some good, some bad, and some ugly. And I picked the Niners to win by 4. They win by 5. You picked them to win as well. Ty was adamant that the Cowboys were going to pull the upset. And I thought, you know, I really did go into the fourth quarter. I was like, man, Ty might be right here on this, because they've absorbed the two bad Dak interceptions. They've got an opportunity here on the road. They're right where they want to be. And it really was when the 49ers took over the game, not the Cowboys.
He's a top 5 quarterback.
Who?
Dak.
Oh, no.
No, I was looking for that this morning.
No. No, I don't think, you know. Look, it's not the I told you so show, but like clearly I tried to say all last week that the Giants win over Minnesota was don't do much with that. Minnesota was awful in that game. And the same for the Cowboys against the Bucks. They're taking a huge steps up in class, and both got outclassed. I mean, obviously the Giants, Daniel Jones. I mean, maybe the performance that he had against Philadelphia, Daniel Jones, Buck, will convince the Giants that they do not want to invest. They don't want us to make the same mistake the Cowboys have with Dak Prescott.
And keep a guy like that hanging around.
And invest in just because you beat the Vikings on the road in a playoff game does not make you an elite quarterback. Daniel Jones is still Daniel Jones.
Yeah, they got two decisions because they're going to have to pay either the running back or the quarterback or both or neither one.
And trust me, I'm not saying that's an easy decision because there are only a few elite quarterbacks in this league, and we got to see them on display this weekend with Burrow and Mahomes, and I think Jalen Hurts is starting to emerge into that conversation. But Daniel Jones, I'd take Dak Prescott over Daniel Jones. I really would. I know he's gotten a lot better this year under Brian Daboll, but you know they got to make a big decision on him as far as a long-term investment. He was not good in that game, Buck. He was not good against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles are a very good team.
Yeah, and neither was that Giants defense that was hanging on by the skin of their teeth over the last couple games.
I said last week about the Vikings. I mean, the clear problem for the Giants defense is their run defense. They're 28th in the league. Well, why didn't the Vikings try to run the ball? And all the Eagles did is line up and smash them for 260 yards. I mean, I'm not saying the Vikings could have run for 260 because they don't have that personnel, but you can at least run the football.
And now that Goddard's back, too, that boy, oh boy.
Well, and I think, I mean, the Niners are really good. But again, I thought the Cowboys were pretty damn good. I thought that was an impressive game, and I thought their quarterback let them down. I think the Tony Pollard injury was brutal. I mean, that really, really hamstrung the Cowboys when Tony Pollard got hurt. I mean, that was the one player on their offense that they had to have him.
You're right.
If they were going to move the ball and put points on the board against that team, they had to have the Tony Pollard explosive plays, either in the run game or in the passing game, and you lost that right before the half with the injury. That was critical. And really, we go back and look at the game big picture, the end of the first half was critical. Pollard got hurt. Dak threw the pick. Because I'm thinking, okay, once they went for it on that fourth down play, Buck, and got it, I'm thinking, okay, well, good. And they control the final 2 minutes. They have a chance to score here, let the clock run down, even if they just get a field goal. And then they get the ball coming out of half. This is where you can really take control of this game. Obviously, Dak throws the critical pick. Can't do that. They get the points before the half.
There's a lot of angst on that team about their kicker, too. You could just tell.
Well, the first kick was going to be
him. He did his job.
Once he made the field goal, it kind of helped.
Right? He missed the – what do you mean? He whirly-birded one. Hey, he didn't do his job.
The one bet I gave the people that hit last week was the over on his field goals. And it was at 1.5.
He made two.
And it's your free money.
He should have gotten a chance to make another one before the half, but Dak threw a terrible pick.
Oh.
And Dak's two picks cost you 9 points. It was a 9-point swing because it added six for them and took three away for you potentially. And
it didn't matter if my grandson was rushing. He wasn't making that one kick that whirly birded.
That wasn't going in.
That still wasn't going in.
Do y'all think this is the offseason that Jerry finally makes a big splash move and it's less about our guys being able to get the job done and maybe taking a page out of like the Rams book.
Making a trade?
Trading maybe a first round pick.
Well, I think
first round pick for
could
another
be.
Star.
He's got to do something because he's got a defense whether Quinn is there or not. So he's going to have to end up finding a defensive coordinator if he gets a job.
If they do need to add another, big name star, do you think it should be on the offense or defense?
Well, I just
but
think,
that defense was salty.
Well,
enough
look, let's be fair about this with Mike McCarthy, Dak. Tony Romo and he now have the identical playoff record. This is about Jerry Jones at the end of the day. This long run of me not walking to Dallas for 23 straight years and, they haven't been in a championship game since the mid-90s. That's about Jerry. And that's about his ownership style, his way he operates. And that's the broken record of all time. But same time,
I mean,
as long as you're going with this quarterback,
yeah, I mean,
you're not going to beat elite teams in elite games. You're not.
Well,
if
you're stuck with
the
running back, you're definitely stuck with the quarterback.
Well, Zeke, they got to figure out what to do with that contract. They may just have to take the $11 or $12 million dead money hit, try to figure that out. Because when Pollard got hurt, that's what was exposed. Is all you have is Zeke, and he's lost.
Yeah, there was not a time when he had the ball that I think he was going to do anything with it.
Well, I mean, watching Brock Purdy outplay Dak Prescott reminds you of the great. Remember Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame general manager who built the Packers?
Mm-hmm.
Always said, we're going to draft a quarterback every year. We're going to draft a quarterback every single draft because it's the most important position in the sport.
Yes, it is.
And we,
which means your backup is the second most important position, it looks like now.
And, you know, sometimes you can find a diamond in the rough, and Brock Purdy certainly looks to be the part. And it's something when people talk about Jerry Jones, you know, Jerry Jones lucked into Tony Romo, and he lucked into drafting Dak Prescott in the fourth round. I mean, the Cowboys have not made the quarterback position a priority in three decades since they drafted Troy Aikman. They've tried to put Band-Aids on it with, and they found some good fortune in the Romo and the Dak thing, but there's a ceiling to that. And if you don't, you know, go after trying to find an elite quarterback, I think you end up where the Cowboys are. You're spinning your tires. Very good defense, a lot of good players, just not good enough to beat the elite teams of your league, which the Cowboys are close, but not good enough. Can we dive into your Coach's Corner? It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations this Monday and every day here on the Show of the People.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
All right, Buck. So we'll get back to the Cowboys. We'll take your thoughts on the good, bad, and ugly from the divisional playoff games. The Final Four is set in the NFL. But what do we make of the Longhorn basketball team, the win at West Virginia Saturday?
Nice comeback in the second half. Way to get things together. Marcus Carr with 19 points in the second half. They were a little sluggish because it was a defensive. It was like you thought it would be in Morgantown.
It was a rock fight.
Oh, it was. Exactly right. There was something on top of that basket. You couldn't get it in the basket.
Yeah, it was a rock fight, man. It was.
And nobody looked coordinated. It just looked like a bunch of uncoordinated dudes out there running around getting banged into.
26 total points in the first half for Texas.
Man.
And you're thinking, oh, geez. But, you know, this is one of those really ugly, pretty wins. You take it because in the second half, you know, the Longhorns will play tomorrow night. They'll play Oklahoma State. And they got to win that game, by the way. They got Oak State coming in. The next five after that are really, really tough. But, you know, you're becoming what you are. Tomorrow will be their 20th game. So I don't know what to say about Tyrese Hunter at this point. You expect him to break out of his slump at some point. Same time, they're a better team when Jabari Rice is on the floor. And Jabari Rice is such an X factor to what they do because he did, in that second half, Buck, it allowed them to do exactly what we talked about Friday, letting Marcus Carr play off the ball. Jabari Rice was able to run the point and instigate the offense and initiate the offense, and then Marcus was able to play off it. I also thought that...
Now, Jabari Rice, is he that much help defensively, though?
Oh, yeah, I think he's a really good defender. He's a plus defender for them in the backcourt and the perimeter, in my mind. But, you know, that's one of his calling cards with his length, his long arms. I think he's a good defender. But I thought in the second half, Christian Bishop and Dylan Dessou were huge. Dylan Dessou, I mean, he's kind of up and down right now. But I thought he was a big-time factor.
Yeah, he's got nice spurts.
And then, yeah, man, they need that to be more.
Absolutely.
And more. I mean, Timmy Allen was not really a factor in the game, which that's typically leads to problems for Texas.
Yeah, but there goes the length on him again.
Yeah, but, you know, this was Dylan Dessou and Christian Bishop, along with Marcus Carr, taking over that game in the second half. I really like that. So the Longhorns are sitting at 16-3. They're 5-2 in the Big 12. If they could beat Oklahoma State tomorrow night, they'll be 17-3 through 20 games, right? That's pretty damn good in the conference they play in.
Who are they tied? Are they second with K-State right now?
No, they're second with Kansas.
With Kansas.
And Iowa State at 5-2. Everyone's chasing Kansas State right now. Jerome Tang is doing an incredible job in his first year at Kansas State. They're off to their best start since the early 60s at Kansas State. They're really good, and a couple conference player of the year candidates leading their way. I hate their uniforms.
Oh,
I hate them, what they wore on Saturday, because, you know, you've seen this new, what is it? What is that color of purple that they're wearing now?
Gazerpal. It's like, awful.
I don't know, somebody tell me what that is. But then they were wearing, like, the
Crayola purple.
But, Buck, they were wearing, like, the light tops and the dark bottoms. I mean, yeah. It just looked bad. It was a bad look. But they're a good-looking team. Everybody's chasing Kansas State right now. They beat Texas Tech on Saturday.
Yeah, they're little guys making it happen.
Marquise Noel.
Yeah, he sparks a little bit of everything for them.
Yeah, they're just a good team, and that's who everybody's chasing. But how about this for the Longhorns, Buck? They've already beaten Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Now they have to turn around and play them at home. They got to win that game. Then that'll be their 20th contest. If they win that, next stretch of games, go to Knoxville this weekend to play a top-five Rick Barnes Tennessee team on Saturday as part of the SEC Big 12 showdown. Then they come home for Baylor, which is Scott Drew's team, is never an easy one. And then they're going to go to Kansas for back-to-back road trips to Kansas State and then Kansas. So those are your next four games. If you got to get tomorrow night. Got to get tomorrow night, and hopefully you can split those next four.
Yes.
And I think you'd be in a good spot if you're Texas, big picture, into February at that point. But
I think Kansas has Baylor tonight.
Yeah, nice win. What's that? Yeah, Big Monday.
Wow.
Big Monday in the Big 12. We'll preview that coming up for the end of the show. Also from the 40 Acres, the big news, Texas women got a win, and A.D. Mitchell, Buck, is a Longhorn. That's a great get for Steve Sarkisian and the Longhorns. When we talk about four starters through the portal, this is how you use the portal, right? You build your roster through the high school ranks. You re-recruit your own players so they don't jump in the portal, and you try to develop from we just saw Georgia win back-to-back national championships with very little assistance from the transfer portal. They're doing it from the ground up. I think Steve Sarkisian and his staff have the same mindset. But, you know, when they first got here, the first year they really used the portal to bring in some depth. They just needed bodies, right? I mean, they went and got some guys that they had to go get. Well, now this offseason they've brought in potentially impact starters. I mean, to go get Jalen Catalan to come in and start at safety for you.
Oh, yeah.
To go get the kid from Wake Forest who started two seasons at Wake in the ACC to come in and play corner. To go get a four-year starting punter. I mean, I think that one will go underappreciated, but in special teams, Buck, the kid that they brought in from Stanford not only punted, he also kicked off. He handled kicking duties at times. He's got a little, you know, Cameron Dicker to his resume, and he's a four-year player at Stanford. So he's an immediate impact player. And now A.D. Mitchell, you know, joins a wide receivers room that already includes Xavier Worthy and a healthy Isaiah Nayer. And
well, it always helped that he's a speedster that can get down the field. When your other guy, if he gets to the point where he's not catching the ball, you have another guy.
Yeah. Well, I think we saw that last year when Isaiah Nair got hurt, that kind of forced Xavier Worthy to be the outside receiver, and they tried to use him in just a variety of different ways, and they never had a third receiver really develop, and it really became about the tight end, Jatavion Sanders. But, man, this big 6'4 kid, 200-pounder, Buck.
Yeah, they have five guys now that can go down the field and catch the ball.
Yeah, and we know this with A.D. Mitchell. Stetson Bennett, the two-time national champion in Georgia, said he's the best receiver he's ever played with. I mean, he can win outside. He can be physical, and he can at 6'4", he can go up and high point the ball. We never got to see Isaiah Nayer play last year, Buck, but that was kind of the scouting report on him, that he was 6'3" and 190 pounds and really was faster than anybody thought when he got here, and he was, you know, taking the deep shots. And well, now you got those two big receivers. You got Xavier Worthy and Jordan Whittington, and then you got this young group of receivers who are coming behind it on top of what could be an All-American caliber tight end, Buck, and Jatavion Sanders. That should be a pretty healthy arsenal to improve the passing game, which is Steve Sarkisian's goal this offseason. Obviously, the running backs, you got to replace Bijan and Roshan. But
at least you have some.
Yeah, you got backs.
Yeah.
But as you said, your backs don't have to be as dynamic if you're able to threaten, you know, stretch people with your passing game.
And your offensive line will be better because now they're a year older.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And a year deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You're deeper. And I think that's going to be an exciting thing to watch here winter workouts into the spring for Texas is the competition on the offensive line. As we said, they have all, you know, they all come back. But they may not all start again because other younger guys are coming to try to beat them out. I mean, I think the competition on that offensive line is going to be healthy, good for the team, good for the program because, Devin Campbell and some of these younger guys who were freshmen this year, they want to be starters too. They want the reps. And
If all works out, now you got to find out if you got the right quarterback.
That's right. That's right. And I do believe it's true that Arch Manning lost his student ID one more time.
A fourth time?
Guys, just like my son, man. How do they do
Archibald
that?
Archibald Manning continues to lose his ID.
How do you continue to do that?
Yeah, no, it's the growing pains of college.
It's my son who has to travel. And, dude, he's like almost 40 years old. Hey, I can't find my driver's license. How? How do you lose that? That's like your underwear. You can't
lose. I feel his pain. That used to happen to me probably once a month at least.
Once a month?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of like back in the day, me. Once a year, I'd leave the car keys in the car and locked. It used to happen all the time.
I'm not going
to
say
that's why I got AAA. That's the only reason why I had AAA. Is to change tires, of course, because I ain't changing a tire. And I'd lock the keys in the car somehow. But I never left my wallet. I have never left my wallet. I have never lost my ID. I've never, like, left my wallet somewhere. I have never done that. My son made that. It was like a habit. It's like, that must be a high school thing.
I told you, I don't lose keys or IDs. I do leave the debit card in the little book at the restaurant all the time. I do that probably once a month.
When you go to the restaurant,
yeah,
you
we
pay
go
for
to
it,
eat. I pay for it
and just put it
I
back in there. And leave
tip.
It in there.
Well, because I got to get my usually I got to get my flashlight out to be able to read the tip right, so I can add it up. And then I just end up inevitably closing the book and leaving my little debit card in there. And oh no, look, I got to go back and get it. So that's my
I used to
moment.
Lock my keys in my car on purpose so I wouldn't drive after going out at night, and I'd just come pick it up in the morning with a spare.
Well, that's pretty smart.
I
that
like
is
that
pretty
a lot.
Smart. Yeah.
Or you have an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Maybe I did back in the day.
Yeah. Or you just maybe not drink so much. No, but that's I like that, though. You're thinking ahead on that, making a plan. I love it. All right, we'll come back, take your thoughts on all of that, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Longhorn hoops, Longhorn football, Cowboys season comes to an end in a disappointing fashion. Second straight January, it's a loss at the hands of Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. Also, T.Y. will lead us through some hot or not topics. We'll get an update on the Texas Junior weekend they just had. We've got a lot to do, and the sun's coming up on a – and that's true, Cowboys fan. I'm watching it right now over downtown Austin from our fourth floor headquarters. The sun is coming up as the Cowboys season comes to an end. And maybe you just get used to it at some point. Maybe it just is. The disappointment and the season comes to a disappointing end. We're talking about it with you, Benny on the Horn. B&E with you on a Monday, Blue Monday for a lot of Cowboys fans. And as this texture says it accurately, hey, at least I'm not a Texans fan. Oh, yeah, it's true. But you know what? The Houston Texans have only been in existence for 20 years. And if you compare the Cowboys and the Texans over the last two decades, very similar. Very similar as far as overall record and division championships.
Horrible.
Yeah, they've been mediocre to average as franchises and really bad at times over those 20 years. But obviously the Cowboys have the history of America's team in the early 90s, and they can live on that. But
next year.
From when the Texans came online and beat the Cowboys in the first ever matchup, they're very similar as far as franchises. So we have that pain to share. And yeah,
then they had to play so well on defense, I thought, yesterday until that fourth quarter.
I mean, the praises cannot be sung loudly enough of Dan Quinn and what he's done with that personnel, because I've watched a lot of that 49er team this year. They did more to handcuff that group.
Oh, yeah.
For 3.5 quarters than anybody you've seen. I mean, Deebo Samuel was a non-factor. What, do you remember Deebo Samuel making an impactful play in that game? I mean, Christian McCaffrey scored a touchdown, but he had 10 carries for 35 yards. I mean, they limited those guys tremendously. Kittle had the biggest of the plays.
And was McCaffrey hurt? There must
yes.
Be, there was
a little bit. Little
because that other dude, there he was a trip away from going to the house a couple times.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell's a good player. And I said last week that Elijah Mitchell is kind of their version of Zeke Elliott when you got Tony Pollard and then Mitchell.
He's not taking it to the house,
though. But Mitchell's better than Zeke. Mitchell, as a second-year back, he is a big-time player. But, no, I mean,
something's wrong with his calf muscle, was it?
Well, he was putting that double pad on. I think he was having a little tightness in it and wanted to prevent the full-grown, full-blown problem. But he scored the touchdown. He was in there late. I can't sing the praises enough of Dan Quinn and what that defensive unit did. Now, Cowboy fans will point out that Trevon Diggs not only whiffed on the big hit on George Kittle, he had a pick in his hands, and you know that play was that was a deflected ball. And
yeah, those are hard. Try to catch a deflected ball
in a bang bang play. You're coming to make a play, and the ball gets deflected, and all of a sudden, within a half a second, it's hitting you in the hands.
I don't know. That looks a lot like the Blake Gideon drop to me. Where
the one the Blake Gideon dropped was.
No.
In the hoop.
That one was
an easy
catch.
Yeah, that was in the hoop.
He was running left. The ball got tipped, deflected back to the right. And
it still hit him both hands in the chest.
You're not going to adjust that quick.
In real time in that play, I don't even know if he even saw the ball get deflected. All of a sudden, it's hitting him in the hands. He's going to make a play on the ball. But, yeah, that would have been a huge play. I mean, that would have been a big interception.
Your expectations where a ball is going to be a certain place and it gets deflected and then it goes back to – those are hard to catch.
To those who say, you know, those are
defensive
the kind of,
linemen back there.
Those are the kind of plays your big time players have to make in those kind of games, and that's the point. And then the other flip side is that the quarterback can't make some of the throws he made in that game. You just can't.
And Dalton Schultz can't step out of bounds when he's got an easy 2 foot.
How
in.
Casual was
Come
that?
Come on, that was way too casual.
And somebody made a great point after watching the final play of the game. Why don't they just make Zeke with that big contract the center? He got blown up on that play. I love that lineman.
Who's
he's
that
like,
got a running start at
oh,
him?
He smashed him. Poor Zeke, like, snaps the ball, and boom! Oh, that.
They throw the quick screen. He just got tackled out there.
Yeah.
It was what a horrible thing that was looking like.
Well, look, I mean, if you're looking for biggest factors in the loss, Dak was bad. Not clutch. I mean, not a good adjective I think you can put on Dak's day. And then when Pollard got hurt, I thought that really ended the Cowboys' chances. They were then going to circle the wagons around CeeDee Lamb and know that that's the most explosive weapon. We got to stop him. And they did a nice job on Dalton Schultz. And without
did Gallup
Pollard,
even have a catch?
No. They targeted him 3 times, no catches.
They pay him way too much money, guys.
Yeah, that's a problem. And when Pollard went out, I mean, it was just a huge blow because you could see how they were trying to use him and weaponize him within that offense and create explosive plays. They really couldn't. It was just CD at that point. And I thought CD played a good game. I thought he had given opportunities. But then once Pollard went out, that's when Dak really started locking in on him and making dumb throws for a quarterback.
That's right.
Of his
I thought that
age.
Was a dirty play on Mahomes. I hate that tackle. I think that's a terrible tackle. That's as bad as the horse collar. Anytime you jump on the back of the lower legs, when you've got a guy by the whether it's by the jersey, it doesn't have to be in the horse collar area. It just has to be by the jersey, and you jump on that lower leg, that is a problem ready to happen.
Yeah, we saw it with Arden Key against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's a tough play.
And what's tough about it is the guy who has the ball always wants to fight that tackle because they think they're going to break loose, and they don't. I mean, I used to teach the running backs to go numb right there, just to go ahead and, you know, when that guy's got you like that and you're in front of him and he grabs you by the jersey, doesn't have to be a horse collar. I said, let your legs just go because he's coming to jump at your lower leg.
CeeDee Lamb does a good job of that. There was a few times yesterday where he caught the ball.
And
he made one move and then he realized that there was nowhere to go and he goes down, you know.
And they had him by the jersey and could have done the same thing.
Exactly. Well, there was one play where it looked like I thought CeeDee Lamb was going to hyperextend his knee. You see that where it almost got locked up and he ended up hurting his thumb or something on the play? I'm like, oh, no.
He's one of those guys, though, every time he's holding the ball, I worry he's going to fumble. Yeah. He's a hold it out to the side, not very secure, but.
Well, I mean, if you're Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, you've got work to do this offseason. You got to figure out what to do with Zeke. You got to figure out how to bring Tony Pollard back.
And you got to make Michael Gallup have a good offseason.
What's the number one thing on the shopping list, though? Like, what's the first position you try to
improve? They're not
going to
change the quarterback. You can go ahead and forget that. We'll be talking about that all spring and summer. But
beyond that, is it a defensive position? Is it off somewhere on the offensive line, another receiver?
I think maybe another receiver, but you got to do something in that backfield. Tony, if you don't believe Tony Pollard can take the load, I don't need a short yardage goal line back to be making $16 million.
Well, remember, did they get a contract done with Dalton Schultz? Or did he play the whole year on the franchise tag? Well, okay, they're not going to use that on him again. So you have to sign him,
mm-hmm.
or you have to let him go. And he's become a very reliable target for Dak Prescott. CeeDee Lamb's still playing on his rookie deal, so you're good. You got to figure out, but Tony Pollard's the one that needs a payday, and now he's got a broken leg and he needs surgery. So, you know, does that make him kind of like Michael Gallup? Does that make him easier to re-sign potentially and keep him off the open market? That's going to become a conversation. But biggest, look, again, we say it over and over again. The NFL is a coach quarterback league. I think you, as long as you're going with that coach and that quarterback, I think these are going to be your results. And I don't think yesterday was as much about Mike McCarthy. You could put a lot last year on Mike McCarthy because they were a highly penalized team. They looked just, you know, poor clock management, a lot of coaching errors that were just glaring. This game, this is on the quarterback. This is on the quarterback who, when you go into a game of this magnitude and you have a 7-year veteran versus a seventh round rookie. You can't get outplayed by the seventh-round rookie, and your quarterback did. That's a problem. It's a major, major problem, and I don't know how you fix that. Now, after the game, Dak Prescott said, somebody asked about the high number of interceptions this year, and he said that will never happen again. The number will never be that high. And look, he's a likable guy, Dak Prescott. He's a stand-up guy. He's a great face of a franchise. I mean, he does mattress commercials at a high level.
Yes, he does at a very high level.
I mean, you know,
sleep number is good for him.
He always says the right thing.
He gets enough rest. We know that.
There's a lot to like. He's got great leadership intangibles. But, man, you're paying the guy for those moments. I mean, am I wrong on this? When you're down 7, 3 minutes to go, 3 timeouts, that's what you're paying him for, to take your team down the field and tie the ball game. Well, and hope that your kicker can make an extra point to tie the ball game.
Well, you better save some money to try to keep Dan Quinn another year.
Well, that guy,
like he's a head coach. He's the number one guy.
I assume that now that the season's over, he's going to be pretty busy doing interviews because I think Denver wants to speak with him pretty quickly and maybe hire him. One of these five teams is going to hire Dan Quinn. He's too good of a coach. And he's taken the team to a Super Bowl before. He has a good eye for talent. He's evolved as a coach on top of being a really good coach. I love that. As a coach, it doesn't get stuck in here's how I do things. He's evolved with the change of the game. You like that about him. And the thing that you love about Dan Quinn as a potential head coach, Buck, in any of these spots is the players love him. I mean, the players love playing for him. It was an immediate jolt to that defense. And, you know, what he did yesterday, I thought he deserved better. His defensive unit deserved better because they played phenomenal football against a dynamic offense for 3.5 quarters and only gave up one touchdown. One touchdown to that team?
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal. And then your quarterback with two interceptions that swung the game 9 points. I mean, you deserve better. Can we hear Jerry Jones after the game? The audio is not great here. This is Jerry in the tunnel. Somebody's holding up a microphone. But
he loves getting all the interviews, though.
Yeah, here's Jerry in the outside the losers' locker room last night after the ball game.
Back to your thoughts on Coach Mike McCarthy. Does a result like this change anything in your mind with him?
No, not at all. And their decision to for our kicker was exonerated with his field goal in my mind, and I'm proud for him. This is very sickening to not win tonight.
Sickening.
Sounds like if Brett Maher missed some extra points, McCarthy might have gotten fired. That's what I.
Yeah, his decision.
The decision.
Decision to bring the kicker.
I
was
like
exonerated. He said exonerated, like
wow.
He was like he was arrested or something.
Going to prison.
Oh man. Well, listen. That wasn't pretty for Brett Maher. And will he be back as the kicker? I think not.
He was inspirational in his method of warming up.
I think you're not.
That Whirlybird, that first one, my grandson could have jumped up and blocked that one.
Well, I don't know if it was the right time or place, but did you see the Greg Abbott tweet? The governor of our state?
No.
Yes.
No, this was true. This was very true.
No, he didn't.
When Brett Maher's field goal extra point was blocked after the Dalton Schultz touchdown catch, and it would have been a missed extra point had it not been blocked. We all see that. Greg Abbott from his Twitter account tweeted, "I swear I can kick as good as the Dallas Cowboys kicker."
No.
That's a fresh term tweet right there, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Of course, Greg Abbott's in a wheelchair, and that's funny. But, you know, if someone said that, they'd probably get in trouble. So the fact that he said it makes it good.
Well, he just got reelected. He has nothing
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, we will.
Back to sensitivity training for Greg Abbott.
Well, you can be safe knowing that Jerry Jones says it was sickening, but nothing will change. And then Dak Prescott said that interception number will never be that high again. It'll never be that high again. I'll read you the exact quote coming up.
Okay, well, I'll buy that when they win next year.
Well, maybe he's going to get the Sharp Vision Modern LASIK and stuff.
Now, he needs to get that done.
I mean, can he see? Like, what's he throwing it to?
I don't think he can see.
Like, if you're making those reads and those throws in year seven, I mean, that I don't know if that gets better. That's concerning in a big moment. We'll be back. It's B&E with you. We'll take your thoughts. We'll hit the hot or not topics. More Longhorn conversation as well. Good, bad, and ugly on a Monday.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
No regrets. Well, Cowboys have some regrets. You know, we talked all season as the NFC was evolving and developing that, hey, if there's a year for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, this might be it. You don't have to out-duel Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, he did out-duel Tom Brady on Monday Night Football, played his best game as a Cowboy. And all he had to do was outplay a seventh-round rookie and could not do it. And that's why the Cowboys lost yesterday in San Francisco, 19-12. There were other reasons, but Dak Prescott was a huge factor with two interceptions and the inability to lead his team down the field with 3 minutes to play in a seven-point game. And the season comes to an end for the Dallas Cowboys. I would argue that right there, Buck, and when Ty asks us the question, and we'll let Ty lead us here through hot or not, when Ty asks us the question, what's the biggest offseason conversation? Doesn't it have to be Dak? I mean, I know there's very little they can do about it at this point, but that has to be. If you're Jerry Jones sitting with Stephen Jones and Mike McCarthy, and you're saying, okay, guys, what's priority number one? Why couldn't our $40 million a year quarterback beat a seventh round rookie in a big playoff game? Why could he not outplay that player? That's a problem, because if we're ever going to get to a Super Bowl, we needed to outplay the likes of Jalen Hurts and Aaron Rodgers and the elite quarterbacks, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, for years to come now, really.
And he can't even outplay this dude? That's a problem. I mean, that would be a major problem. And somebody texted and said, well, he's not going to carry this team. Who among us thought and was confident he could lead on a drive? Well, then you can't pay him elite money. If without Tony Pollard being injured with 3 minutes to play and you got to go 80 yards to try to take or at least tie the game, if you have no confidence in that player that he can do that, that's not just discouraging for yesterday. That's discouraging for the future.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys are happy where they are, right, where they went to just now. After beating Tom Brady, believe me, Dak Prescott's not going anywhere.
Well, then if that's seven straight losses in the divisional round. They haven't played in a championship game in 25 years. If that's where they're comfortable, then that's where they're going to stay with this quarterback. Also, Buck, I know your buddies, when you're out playing golf with the Texas Cheaters, they love that fireball.
Oh.
They like the fireball?
Nah, they don't
fireball
miss the fireball
shots. They're too old for that now.
They're too old for the doing shots.
My guys get those when somebody makes a birdie. They all do fireball shots. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Well, the makers of Fireball whiskey are being sued because their mini bottles they're not actually whiskey.
Yeah, they sell them at gas stations.
Yeah, they sell them at like 7-Eleven.
It's like malt liquor.
It's malt liquor. You like the Fireball, T.Y.?
The thing is, the way I was explained. This was explained to me is that there's two different kinds. There's like a fireball that they sell
at the liquor
store. At the liquor store.
Yes.
And then there's this fireball that's like a lesser percentage.
That 7-Eleven has it.
Yes, because I talked to the 7-Eleven worker about it.
You got to do a deep conversation about fireball.
I was like, how is this a thing? You know, it caught me off guard. But I think it's the same as like the malt liquor rum.
Obviously, it's a percentage of alcohol in it.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
And it's kind of like you can buy those. Those other malt liquors, the fruity beverages, too.
Yeah, of course. And I do like Fireball because I'm not a big shot at the bar guy.
What? You don't like a shot of Jack? Straight up?
It usually ends in my mouth watering pretty quickly. But Fireball, I can usually get past that. So that's my go-to. And it's the cheapest shot you can get at the bar.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. By the way, the Cowboys aren't going to do anything. Remember, Dak got hurt. They're gonna knock on wood that he doesn't get hurt and miss five or six games.
Stop with the excuses. We don't need them.
Oh yeah, yes you do. You need an excuse
because
they're not
going to
do anything. They're not. I mean, they're not going to get rid of him. So I mean, I don't know why everybody's thinking, well, this is the year to get rid of him. No, they're not going to get rid of him.
I just said that should be the biggest conversation. And because somebody said, come on, E, what are you going to do? Who are you going to bring in other than Dak? How many good, top end quarterbacks have changed uniforms in the last 5 years?
Hey,
quarterbacks move now. Make a move. I mean, quit putting Band-Aids on your quarterback.
Stetson Bennett. How's that?
Oh, geez. See, that. There we go. Well, maybe he's the next Brock Purdy. I don't know. Because Brock Purdy's got win away from the Super Bowl now. And we all thought that would happen. He's been really good. All they got to do is beat Jalen Hurts.
Is he the starting quarterback for the 49ers next year,
yes.
No matter what?
Yes.
To start it out?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think he's earned that opportunity. What say you? And by the way, the reason I say that is his teammates love him. His teammates have as much confidence in him as it isn't just about a media conversation. This is or a sports show conversation. The locker room loves Brock Purdy. What say you there, T.Y.?
I don't know if y'all caught it last night, but a trailer dropped for this new movie. It's called 80 for Brady. Did y'all see this?
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, that's been in the works.
It's Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Sally Field, and Rita Moreno. It's described as the Super Bowl meets a super adventure, and it's about these four elderly women and their love for Tom Brady, and it's a kind of a
are they
cross
all 80?
Trip.
Are they all 80? The women in this now?
I think that
Rita Moreno's 80.
I think the movie is based around one of their 80th birthdays.
Okay, but not all of them are 80.
They decide they want to go to a Super Bowl and see their guy Tom Brady.
But based off the trailer, I didn't have much to say about it. But based off the trailer, this could be one of the worst movies of the year.
Nice.
Yeah, this is one I won't see.
No, I won't see this. No.
Yeah, four best friends live to the life to the fullest when they embark on a wild trip to see their hero Tom Brady play in the 2017 Super
Gronk
Bowl.
Gronk is in it.
Gronk is in it. Brady is in it. Sally Field is in it. Sally Field's one of my all-time faves.
Of course.
Jane Fonda.
I don't see any way that this is good.
I'm with you on that. I think Tom Brady's a part of this production, is he not? Like, didn't his
this supposed to come out like years ago? Or
yeah, I think COVID delayed it a little bit. Yeah, that's one I won't see.
But it's coming.
But we've seen, fair is enough, right? I mean, Because we've seen all these movies with the old dudes.
You know what else is coming?
Like the old
Tom
guys
Brady's coming to the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, don't
come
do
on,
that.
Come on, bring Brady here. Why not?
No.
You'd rather have him than Dak.
No.
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 No?
No. No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I think there's one reason why he's going to Vegas, and I'll tell you about that coming back. Tom Brady, that is. Yeah, and we'll put the question on the table for the Cowboys. What is the biggest offseason priority for your Dallas Cowboys now that the season is over? Send us your thoughts on that. Specs Test Line, 512-337-3776. Coming right back.